Hey, Halton here. Listen, the call for presentations for FDIC 2023 is open. Go to FDIC.com. If you've got a 1 hour, 45 minute class or a 4 hour workshop, or if you're an ambitious hot instructor, now is the time to get your proposal in. Go to FDIC.com under conference, hit that tab. First tab down is call for presentations. This is Halton, and we'll see you at FDIC 2023.
Welcome to 5 After Midnight. It's a new show where we talk about the things the way you would around a sleep-deprived kitchen table. When you've run five or more calls after midnight, your brain feels half gone, and you and your crew have absolutely no filter. Just pure honesty. The goal of this series is to kick around the small things that really aren't so small and have a big impact in the way our firehouses function. My name is Stephanie. I'm genuinely not an expert at anything. I'm just here to ask the sometimes awkward questions. Enjoy. Come too far, don't let this slip away.
Fade out like they said we would. For anyone who didn't read the little description box of what we're doing today, I am here in Philadelphia, gorgeous, not so sunny Philly, talking to Frank Winneck. Did I butcher that?
That's fine.
Winneck.
That's fine.
Winnecksky.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Winneck is fine, yeah.
Talking to Frank.
Big Daddy Cool Breeze, they used to call me, but that's fine.
Frank from Philly. We'll just go
with
that.
Yeah. I'm only kidding.
Frank from Philly about, we're going to kind of roll two fun little subjects into one. The disappearing act of the senior man in the fire culture and the mass exodus that I think we're going to see here soon of really all the senior guys with the salt and the knowledge, and the detriment of that because of the new culture we're hiring, the real cultural shift, and those kids coming in now aren't going to have that senior man to show them the way. But Frank, before we get started, introduce yourself. Long walks on the beach.
Yes, I like long walks on the beach, the smell of scented candles, the feel of satin sheets, and like a Harlequin romance novel. Anything with like a shirtless man riding a horse with his hair blowing in the wind, I'm cool with that, you know, so.
It's that East Coast confidence,
right? Yeah, like a little Fabio. Not so much Fabio, but born and raised Philadelphia, Kensington section of Philadelphia, blue collar area. Always wanted to be something, but I didn't know what I wanted to be as a kid growing up. I was a knucklehead, you know, stuck in the corner. Got my stuff together when I was like around 23 years old. Fortunate enough to get a break, land a gig with the city, and transferred to the fire department, I guess, 2007. Was with the sheriffs before that and the prisons before that. So, you know, as much as I like to talk about the city, I mean, it's provided me a good life and my family a good life, you know. So, you know, for that, I'm grateful. So, like I said, but I got with the Philadelphia Fire Department in 2007. Came on a little older. Got my balls busted. I went through three academies. I went through the prison academy, the sheriff's academy, and then I went to the fire academy. So by the time I got to the fire academy, they were kind of busting my balls, calling me like Rocky. I should have quit after the first one. You know what I mean? But kind of hung in there and really enjoyed everything about it. I took the test back in 94, but you know, back then there was a lot of military guys coming back, taking the test, and got busted to get 10 points, rightfully so. I just didn't have it, you know, wasn't ready for it, whatever the case may be. So, like you said, got on in 2007 and been fortunate to be in decent companies. So, that's where we're at.
Good for you. Now that we got the Harlequin romance out of the way, your house right now, where are you at?
I'm at Ladder 16, so it's like Port Richmond, Fishtown, Kensington section. I was there, I got assigned there when the engine was there. So back in 2009, there was seven companies that were disbarred, I guess, or this, they just took them out of service. Mm-hmm. Engine 6 was one of them. And it was in the neighborhood that I grew up in. So when I got to Engine 6, I was elated. I was happy. I was kind of like, all right, I'm protecting my neighborhood. You know what I mean? And it was still kind of, you know, middle road company we were talking earlier, getting some good jobs, second in with like 25 twos. But we were doing well for ourselves. Ladder 16, obviously doing well. Like you said, 2009, they kind of took those companies out of service. Went down to Chinatown and landed on my feet in Chinatown. We had a good crew down there, good guys. Just a different kind of game, you know what I mean, down there. It's more high-rise, more alarm systems, stuff like that. So we were out the door a lot, you know. Didn't get to, I mean, got to see a lot of things, you know, but I missed I missed being back in the neighborhood. So when the opportunity arose for me to get back to the neighborhood and get back to Ladder 16, I put my ticket in as fast as I could. And fortunately, you know, I got there. So it worked out.
That's got to be pretty neat to roam the streets of where you grew up.
It's a double-edged sword because you're dealing with people that you know, that you grew up with, their families. Like, I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, so I bounced around, not to get like off the subject, but I bounced around from family to family in the neighborhood. They kind of took me in as a kid growing up. The circumstances were a little goofy, but I had a buddy of mine's father, who was like a father to me, who had, you know, coded. Mm. So that's what sucks about working in the neighborhood. But when you get the chance to help somebody, you know what I mean, it makes it all worth it. You know, but it sucks.
That had to be the weirdest thing for me, coming on the job right out of high school, was running overdoses of kids you had known as a teen, and that was just freaking weird, bringing someone back and saying, hey, Bobby.
Yeah.
How are you? Haven't seen you in a month.
Haven't seen you since the prom.
So senior guy, what does that mean to you when I say that phrase?
Well, it's changed a lot, obviously. You know, I feel like the last good years of the department, where the senior man really meant something, where the senior guy, you walked into a room, you knew who it was, and you knew, like, I better make this guy happy. You know, and again, I got on older, and I still knew the deal. I still knew that I needed to be up first, do the dishes, grab the mop, clean the bathrooms, whatever the case may be, because I don't want to look bad, you know. And I got on a little older, so I knew a couple of guys on the job already, and I didn't want to make them look bad by knowing me. You know what I mean? So, and these were all like senior men. You know what I mean? Like guys that were really well respected in the department, and I just didn't want to. I didn't want to look bad. I didn't want them make them look bad by knowing me. So, but the senior guy, just, you know, salty. I don't know if you want to say. I mean, we had salty senior guys. You know, you got guys that are like Ray Mansfield from Ladder 16. He was like, he was the guy that just kind of, he just looked. You know, he was always thinking, and he didn't say much. But when he said something, it carried so much depth and weight that you were like, oh, man, you know what I mean? He just had so much knowledge. He retired out of Ladder 16, you know, so he was a phenomenal senior guy. Again, a couple other senior guys were kind of a little rough around the edges, kind of called you out. You know, you're like, damn, you know, thought you did well. And then you put your head down, walking away with your tail between your legs, like, oh, shit, you know, I should have stepped up a little bit more. But a senior guy is, you know, the knowledge, just the knowledge and the patience. And the call you out if you screw up. You know what I mean? Not afraid to call it, you know?
I think the key to a good senior guy, you hit it right on the head right there, is the knowledge, the call you out, but the patience. It's like this fine-tuned machine, because they will make you feel stupid in about... Good senior man will make you feel stupid in about two sentences or less. I mean, just even with the look, half the time they give you that look and you know you screwed up. But I also feel they're always the one, to use a fun little millennial phrase, they're your safe space. You know that they're going to bust your balls, but you can kind of hang your head and go to them and say, hey, I know I should know this, but I don't, or I'm struggling with this or whatever, help me out. And they were just the ones who pointed you in the right direction and made sure you were solid, because at the end of the day, even though your officer represents the house, a lot of people, when things go wrong, they look at the officer. The rookies, you're always going to look to the senior man. That's so-and-so's rookie. And that's the funny thing about that position, is they're the ones who get blamed if a rookie turns out horrible. I know for me, it's funny. You came in opposite end of the spectrum for me. You came in a little older. I came in fresh out of high school.
Thanks for pointing that out. Go
ahead. No problem. It's the saltiness.
Yeah.
I came in as a baby, so there was, and I didn't have a senior man at my house. I came into a younger house. And that was the funny thing, is everybody, instead of having that senior person to explain stuff to me, everybody just said, we'll play the game. Okay, so I came in, I'm off the floors, got to work an hour and a half early, changed everybody's batteries, played the game, did the thing. But there was no one to guide me and explain to me why we're playing that game. So to me, it became a kind of a salty, bitter competition with the guys who were only, you know, a couple years older than me and had maybe two to three years extra on the job, of just anything you can do, I can do better. And it wasn't until about 2 years later when I got to a different house and got a true senior man. It was an older established shift, Dave Bender. I'm going to throw him under the bus. And where I got to understand what that role was, it's just he would make me feel stupid within two words. I mean, just like an idiot. But then he would also take me to the side and, you know, hey, kid, this is why things are this way, and this is what you do. And if you had a stupid question of something you knew you should know and you forgot, he would explain it. He'd make you feel stupid afterwards, but in the midst of it, he'd explain it. And I really feel like that role is going away, especially with the drop, with politics, with COVID. I don't know about you guys, but I know when I came in, guys were staying for 30 years. And if you ask people now, it's, oh yeah, I'm gonna leave at 20. And so that real bank of knowledge is suddenly going away. And I think after COVID, I think a lot of guys saw everything that went on and were like, well, I'm not gonna live through this again. I'm not dealing with this. This is too much for me. I've got my 25. I'm rolling out. And I think we're about to see a mass exodus in 3 years, this year too, but definitely in 3 years, of all the guys who after COVID hit that drop.
We see, I mean, our we had a policy that was a few years ago that was for mass transfers. Mm-hmm. So that kind of decimated our department in regards to the senior man, because you had guys like Irv Cohen was at 45 for I don't know how many eons, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it was. He gets told he has to put in and go somewhere else. So we had a very, it was detrimental, like I said, detrimental to the morale of the department, because again, you had senior guys that if you knew you were going to that station, who the senior guy was and what was going to happen and how he was going to handle you, you know what I mean? Like, policy got implemented, mass rotation started, a lot of these senior guys were at the point that towards the end of their careers are like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not at a place I want to be. Like, not that they didn't want to be fired, but they got displaced. They got uprooted. They got pulled from their homes, basically, and put somewhere else. So we've seen a big increase in the drop, like a lot of guys retiring after those years. I mean, we got a good guy now as a Commissioner Teal. He stopped stopped that policy pretty much as soon as he got here. We had Brown out. So there was a lot of things going on that was kind of really messing with the morale of the department. And the senior guys were trying to hold it together as much as they possibly could. Like, you didn't want to have a senior, look, they're not going to say that they're pissed. I mean, they're going to say, but they're not going to act. Like, they're going to go to whatever station they were assigned after they got pulled out of their house. And they're going to do the best they can with what they got. But they're working with a whole bunch of new players. They don't know who's who. You know, but they know, but they don't, you know. So it kind of really did kick the department in the balls, that policy. Thank God, like I said, Teal came in and kind of straightened that out.
We Virginia people can come in and fix things.
Yeah. I tell you, he's done really well for the morale. He's got us, you know, whatever. Whole side note. But, you know, hopefully, you know, if I get it, ask for a holiday, I'll get it now. You know, but no, so we had a lot of issues in regards to that, right? So then that happens. You get these guys, now you got guys coming into these firehouses that were kind of reputable, with reputable senior men that are no longer there, and you got the guy kind of falling in at like 3 years, 2 years, you know, identifying themselves as a senior guy. And we talked about it earlier. And look, I don't consider myself a senior guy. I'm senior in age, right? I got on later, so I don't consider myself a senior guy by all means. I'm the guy that busts balls at the firehouse and does all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I question the guy that tells me he's a senior guy. Like, anybody, you know, well, I'm senior man. Like, you know what? You shouldn't have to advertise that. You, right. You know what I mean? Right, you shouldn't.
So I have to say I'm the expert. I'm probably not the expert.
No, you're not, right? So I question those guys. And it's funny. When I first got on, like, my first assignment was at a particular station at whatever. So there was a senior guy that got kind of shanghaied because he ran his mouth too much. Like, but he was one of those guys that kind of let you know he was the senior guy. So that's why he got shit. No one liked him. He was one of them guys that, you know, just a pain in the balls. So I know the deal. I know what the deal is with the senior guys. I gave them all the respect. But, you know, I got guys in that well, my platoon that were maybe a class or two ahead of me, you know what I mean? Well, not that much time, but we were all, you know, pretty much all brand new, brand friggin' new. And the guy kind of ran his mouth. Yeah, but when he was teaching me, I was listening. When he was giving me, like, you know, little, you know, I was listening. I gave him all the respect in the world. Again, I was a little older, but I gave him all the respect in the world. And never kind of disrespected him. You know, look, we play that game, you know, we'll balls out, go back and forth, bust the ball, you know, but he kind of made a comment to me one day, like I was coming into the fire's house, and I always wear Jeff caps, always wear whatever. And he just kind of turned around, looked at me, goes, "You look like a real ass with that hat on." And I was like, "God, that's funny. You don't even need a hat on to look like an ass, you know?" And I kind of just walked away. And the next thing you know, he's like up in arms, you know, "Do you hear what he just said to me? I'm the senior man." You know what I mean? Like, so I knew, like, you know what I mean? This is not the senior guy that I'm going to look up to, or I'm going to respect, or hopefully one day get there that I don't want to be. You know what I mean? That kind of guy. I don't want to be that guy. So, whatever. I don't know why I got on that freaking subject, but maybe I was holding that in for a while. I don't know.
Let it out. Mic'd therapy.
Hey, Mike Wells, thanks a lot. This is like therapeutic.
No, but you raise the point of, you know, the senior guys aren't the guys who have the most time, and the senior guys are the guys who you turn to for their knowledge. So the interesting thing now is you and I are the upcoming generation, which is a freaking terrifying thought, probably, and thank God it was over. Probably about 6 months ago, I found myself age-wise, time in, everything as the senior guy at my firehouse. I'm not a senior guy. I don't have anything that qualifies me to be a senior guy. And it was this moment of realization of, you know, crap, my generation's up next. You know, we don't have much time left, probably. We're probably about to have a mass exodus, and we're it. And I better start prepping for that. And you're in the same boat I am, which you have, you know, we're within a couple years of each other. You guys are probably going to start seeing mass exodus soon, and we're next. And I think the interesting thing for us, every generation says that the generation coming in is, you know, a pain in the ass and whiny and entitled.
Oh, you're going to hear that.
Yeah, entitled and all that. But this generation is, I'm trying to find the best way to say this, politically correct. This new generation is very different from what we've seen in the fire culture. We're hiring, I think countrywide, we're hiring a different type of people than we used to hire. You know, it used to be.
So this is like a blue collar job, right? So now
right,
we're starting
absolutely
to hire white collar kids. You know, so again, as far as the, like, the transition that's going on in the department, the younger guys, there's good younger guys. There's good, aggressive younger guys.
Absolutely.
Right? So, and again, look, it's human nature. You want to be like that. We talked about it earlier. I don't want to like piss anybody off or come across like, yeah, he's an asshole. But some of these guys that are coming in, guys, girls, like, you know, I say guys, I mean everybody, you know,
it's
so
gender neutral.
Yeah, all right. You know, I don't want to get my pronouns wrong. But, you know, some are just taking this job because of the paycheck, right? So, I mean, look, it pays good. You know, I mean, our department pays fairly well. The schedule's phenomenal, you know, four on, four off. The benefits are great. Yeah, but they're coming in with this sense of entitlement, like, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that, I don't have to do this. Or if you're busting my balls too much, I'm going to go talk to the office. Like,
right,
like you said, so the senior guy was always that buffer. Like, we called him sergeant or whatever. So, you know, they never should get to the officer. Never get to the officer. It should be handled like with amongst the men, right? So now we're getting some guys, girl, whatever, coming on to feel like the sense of entitlement that they can just go right to whoever. I mean, you know, the
straight
chain of command is kind of out the window in certain aspects with certain things going on. You know, where I'm at, I'm fortunate, like you said, you're having these newer guys coming in. Station where it's not that we recruit, it's not that we look out, you know what I mean? Whoever put the ticket in puts the ticket in. It's the roll of the dice. You can, you know, seniority. We got a new seniority policy now. Before, it was like who you knew is how you got to where you were. Now we got like the seniority policy. But we do get heads up. So like if guys want to, you know, if there's an opening in our station, someone like
you recruit a little.
Well, you do. You kind of put it out there a little bit. You know, it's yeah,
it's
you do.
It's survival.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So
you want to know what you're getting.
So we've been fortunate in my station anyway that we really don't have any ASAs. I mean, I might be the AC. I'm hoping, you know, but I'm just saying, like, it's really not that we don't have a lot of drama in ours. You go to different stations and you're hearing a lot of different things, and you're like, man, thank God I'm not here. But again, it's all due to some of these newer people that are coming in. You know, like it's well, I need this, I need that, I need this, you know.
So I think around 2010 is when I saw the pendulum swing. I came in, I really feel like I came in on the tail end, and you hit this earlier, we came on the tail end of a good thing. And just like everything in society, the pendulum swung. We went from one extreme where maybe we were hazing a little too much, doing some things wrong, obviously. Nothing is ever perfect. But because some bad things happened that were really bad, we decide to swing the complete other way now, where can I say this to this person to check their behavior? And you hit it right on the head. They're going to run straight to an officer instead of there being that buffer of this senior man. And I think we're seeing, and it's not their fault because they were kids, the adults made the decision. We're seeing the every kid gets a trophy.
Absolutely.
Generation.
Absolutely.
Being,
yeah.
Being hired. And now, I mean, when I came in, I didn't understand why it was my job to clean the crapper every day, but you did it. And if you didn't do it, you were gonna hear about it. And now we're seeing the generation who openly says, well, I did it yesterday. It's your job to do it today.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you're not doing it every day, right? If you're not doing the small things that are asked of you, mm-hmm. Do you really expect them to do the big things when it has to be done? Like,
right.
You know, again, it's a trust thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're just building that character. You're building your character in the fire department by doing all those little minuscule type things that we think is minuscule. But the guys are watching you, and they're seeing how much effort you're putting into doing that. So we know what kind of effort you're going to put in on a fire ground if something goes down. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to half-ass this, what makes me think that you're not going to half-ass a job or go hide in a corner or in a closet somewhere while you're supposed to be doing a search, you know? So it does sound like it doesn't make sense. You know, why would you do this? But it's what you're proving. I mean, it sounds goofy to say, but like, you're proving yourself in the firehouse, so you know what you're going to be like on a fire ground. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And again, like you said, senior guys would kind of just sit back and watch, and you know, yeah, you knew they were watching.
But they'd be the ones to pull you aside. They'd let you flounder. They'd let the rest of the shift disseminate you after you complained out loud, but then they'd be the ones to say, hey, kid, that fire's going to be hot. I got to count on you to do little tiny things every day so you can prove to me that you're going to be consistent with checking out your gear or doing the little
Absolutely.
Things.
Complacency kills us. It really does. Like, when you start coming in, you know, look, you get a couple years on the job, and you know, there's a difference between being cocky and confident, right? So, you know, I worked with a captain in the sheriff's department, this guy Cardamone, and he said the most dangerous person that you'll ever work with is the guy between 3 and 5 years. Mm. Because you know enough, but you don't know it all. You know enough to be dangerous, but you don't know it all. You
and
know what I mean?
At that point, you don't know what you don't know, too.
Yeah. Well, you don't know you need to know it until you need to know it,
right?
So, but you got a little bit of knowledge, you got a little bit of this, and you get a little bit of cocky, a little sway in your friggin' walk, and you know what I mean? And then you kind of, boom. The senior guy may or may not let you, you know what I mean? May or like, let's, you know, put your hand on the stove, ass. You know what I mean? You're going to get burnt, right? They might let you do it like a kid. Like your first kid, you know, the kid trips and falls. You take him to the hospital. You're scared about everything. By your third kid, you know, he's sticking a friggin' fork in the outlet. You're like, hold on. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of like where we're at, you know? I don't know. I'm getting off pace again. But,
I'll reel you in if you go too far.
Yeah, I should have took my medicine. But,
because every fireman listening to this is ADD too, so
yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah, my wife's diagnosed with ADHD, but I think I'd be boring if I took the medicine. But so these newer guys coming in, again, there's good, solid dudes that are coming in. It's like the one bad apple can ruin a whole bunch.
Right.
You know what I mean? You hear guys coming, well, what class were you in? I was in this class. Oh, I heard about this dude from your class. You know what I mean?
Telephone, tell a friend, tell a fireman.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it trickles down the lane, but it's changed. And again, you are in a conversation. The kitchen table, you know?
It's gone.
So everybody's on their phone, right? Everybody's on their phone. And I'm guilty of that. You know, I just, because I don't want to hear the guy's bullshit. I mean, I know everybody I work with, so it's always, you know, I don't want to listen to this bullshit. Well, you go to different houses, like, you know, might be detailed or overtime or a different house.
And it's creepily silent at the kitchen table.
Everybody's on their phone, you know?
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And it's like a Morgan there.
But the art of the conversation is dying. Going over jobs or, you know, kind of talking about, like, pre-gaming, so to speak. Like, all right, well, if we got this, what do you do? We got this one. Like, again, I'm fortunate because I've been around guys, my guys, we all know each other. You know what I mean? We're good. Our station's, because the battalion's good. But it's there's definitely a huge change. The theory of the department's the same, right? You put the wet stuff on the red stuff. The fire department, the theory is never going to change, right? You got to put the fire out, right? But the culture, policies, it's changing. Is it for the better, or are we becoming too smart for our own good? You know what I mean? Are we trying to reinvent the wheel here? I don't know, but are we worried too much about feelings and emotions, or how someone?
So I'm going to say something that you're absolutely gonna hate. It's up to us now.
Oh, that's what it is.
We are the generation suddenly that, and it's a whole heck of a weighted responsibility, but I think our generation is going to make or break the next decade of the fire department.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because we're that in-between generation of, we got to see what things were like, and then we got to see the pendulum swing. And so now I think it's our responsibility, big whoop, to bring the two together. Because the truth is always somewhere in the middle, right?
So again, great point. It's our fault, right? It's our responsibility.
Yeah. But whose fault? No. Not our fault. Again, don't pin this on me.
Yeah. I'm 53. I got an adult kids, right? So as a kid growing up, it was rough, right? So what do I want to do? I want to make sure that my kids don't have it as rough as I had it, right?
Coming up.
So I want to give a change. I want to make sure that they're good. Is that the same thing that's happening in the fire? Are we being too soft? Are we letting them make their own mistakes?
Well, I think we're
doing... Or are we saying that get your balls, get your feelings hurt, right? It sucks. Everybody doesn't want to get their feelings hurt.
I think we nationally developed a culture of fear. So I think people got sued, and in some places rightfully so, don't get me wrong. But I think people got scared, and people developed this culture of fear of, well, I'm not going to intervene when I see something because...
Fear of reprimand.
I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get sent to EO, IA, whatever. So it became a culture of fear. And like I said, the truth being in the middle, we're not putting now, because of that culture of fear, we're not putting our newer people under stress. Because look, if I tell you to stand up and deliver a drill to the whole shift, and the shift is getting at you, and they're picking on you, they're putting you under stress while you're trying to do this drill, I want to see how you're going to handle that drill. Are you going to storm off? Are you going to get angry? This is a great way for us to see
it's great. Absolutely.
How you handle stress. But that culture's gone away of where we feel comfortable putting the rookie in that spotlight and doing those things.
So is it because we knew how it felt getting our balls busted? Like, it sucked. Like
my balls busted, so now I want to
put... You want to kind of put...
No.
But again, I look at it, as like the kids, but it sucks being in the barrel, right? Ass up with your knot up against your ass against the knot, right? So it sucks being in that barrel, right? It blows. No one wants to be in that barrel, right? So you know how it feels to be in that barrel. So when you got a kid, a junior guy making a mistake or doing something, there's times I think of I don't want to throw this kid in that barrel. You know what I mean? Like, then I pull him to the side. So are we at fault for making them softer? You know what I mean? By not kind of having that cold callous attack on them when they're doing something wrong.
No, that's a good point. I think our generation, here's the line we have to walk. So, and we're not smarter than the previous generations. Not at all what I'm saying. The fine line we have to walk is, there's been more studies, more technology. So we know now that people are going to learn. Not everyone needs to be yelled at, screamed at, the basic training way still in their perby year. So some people need the quieter education. Yes, still put pressure on them, but pull people aside. Everybody learns differently. We've finally gotten that message. Our generation, I think, understands that more than previous generations. So I think our role, as we start to slide into, hopefully, far, far from now, those senior man spots, is, okay, how do I tailor the education and the stress levels to this person, but still make sure that they come out fire ready? I mean, I don't want to turn out a human being that is going to falter on me in a fire. How do I find the right amount of stress and the right amount of sticking the screws to them to have them still able to absorb the knowledge and learn, but not make them feel, just completely deflated? And I think that's
So yeah, it's,
that's where
I wasn't in the military. I was stuck in a corner. I tell everybody I was in a neighborhood guard. You know what I mean? But the military, what do they do? They break you down and build you back up to what they want. You know what I mean? A machine. Like, they want you to be like, now we're getting into this, you know, I hate to say easier, softer, gentler. You know, like, look, we all got feelings and emotions, right? So what do you do?
We can say it. It is, and it's not the kid's fault. It's the adults who said everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah. So now what do you do with that, right? Do you pull them in, embrace it? There's times.
Don't make me embrace anybody. I'm not a hugger.
I'm a good hugger. There's times when you got to put a foot in somebody's ass, right? There's a time that you're going to have to do that. Unquestioned. You're going to have to do that. So we call it the hammer. You're going to have to come down. We don't have to put a hammer. We're a silhouette hammer. You know, it depends on the circumstance, the situation. But I'm just having and I mentioned it earlier, it's a blue-collar job. Like, when I got on, or even when I looked at the fire department, it was called the blue-collar lottery. You know what I mean? You get on this job and you just hit the lottery. You're good.
Right.
You know, so it was the blue-collar lottery. So I, myself, the guys that I know, worked to get to this job, like, appreciate this job, like, know what this job is. And it's, again, like I said, provided me a good life for my family and you know, it gave me the friends that I have. You got some of these guys coming out of college that might not be able to get the job that they kind of, you know, got their degree in.
We're recruiting in different places.
Well, we're recruiting in different places. I mean, again, like, listen, education is education, right? I'm a Polack from Kensington with a GED. You know what I mean? I tell people I get paid from the neck down. But I don't think we have to make this job harder by over-educating ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with getting smart, right? And figuring things. But again, the theory is the same. No matter what or how many times we change these policies or whatever, you put fire out.
Put the red stuff on.
You put the red stuff on the red stuff. You know what I mean? That's all you got to do, right? You open up. Like, so the change is there. I guess, I don't want to say administrative. I don't know. Like, the frontline guys that I'm with are good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. There is a trend coming in where it's like, fuck. You know, these guys are going to be officers. You know, these guys are coming in with no experience, going to small, like so again, I don't want to bust anybody, but some guys are coming in not going to really busy places. Really, not the numbers are down. So I shouldn't say not busy places, right? So the numbers are down all over the place. The whole city's getting gentrified.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
all over the nation.
The numbers are down. So the busier places now, 15 years ago, were considered middle of the road. Now they're busy, right? So you got some guys not even going to any of these spots and, you know, studying to become lieutenant. Like,
so that's an interesting point. As I look around my department at people with my mid-level time in, and most of them are officers now.
Yeah.
So freaking, we're not even going to have, once my generation is, you know, the senior generation, we're not even going to have any senior firefighters that aren't officers. I mean, the amount is really high. We definitely push, and I don't know if it's nationally, but we definitely push to promote because, so we're going to loop back around to the whole senior man concept, because that we kind of culturally got rid of that as a respected position. I think people now are thinking, well, to be in a position to affect culture and change and all that, I have to get promoted.
Yeah.
It's the only way I'm going to affect change and do this and do that, because we've lost the respect for those who know the art of firefighting.
Well, yeah, but what do you call success? Like, what is success to somebody? Like, being made. You know what I mean? That they consider themselves successful for being made. Me, personally, I give all the respect in the world to the officer. I got nothing but great officers.
Kudos to anyone who wants to study.
I worked with great officers. I really did. I was fortunate. I had one knucklehead. But anyway, he you know. But I've been fortunate with really good officers. But these guys coming in, they're not content with just being a fireman, right? So they're told that they have to succeed or do better or whatever the case may be. I'm not saying that you kind of get idle or, again, complacent with where you're at in life. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do better or be better. But I think, you know, get made prematurely before you even know this job or how this job works.
We've lost a generation of firemen who want to be firemen.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants to get made, you know? So, and again, whatever the reason may be, you know, they just want to kind of move up in the ranks. That's cool. Me personally, you know, I think that you should do some time in the field. I think you should be cross-trained. I think you should be kind of like qualified on the engine and the ladder, you know, because listen, I work my entire career on an engine. I get made to go to a ladder. I can't even move that friggin' piece, you know what I mean? Because I'm not qualified to drive the thing, you know?
Right.
So that's just my personal opinion. I might ruffle. I don't want to get anybody upset, but I'm just saying that's how I feel it should be, but it's not the case. Like, guys, they're eligible to take the test in 2 years. There's one guy that was taking his medic time actually carried over. He was studying for his lieutenant's test before he even did his six-month test.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Like, so there's guys out there like that, you know?
And we're setting those people up for failure because we're saying, hey, you have this position, this opportunity to do it. Here's your permission to do it. We can't necessarily fault people for doing that. We can fault the new culture.
Well, they also know where to hide. You know what I mean? I'm gonna kind of, but you know, but there's spots where you know you can go to and kind of fly under the radar and not be called out because the whole company may be people just trying to fly under the radar. You know, so
everybody
a turd's not gonna call a turd out. You know what I mean? Or, it's kind of hard to call somebody a turd when you know you're a turd yourself. But again, some guys are in those spots because they couldn't get out. Some guys, but there's guys that will find those spots that they can kind of slide in, fly under the radar, you know. Again, the short amount of time I got on, so many spots that I see young guys in now, with little time. Like, I'd say five, whatever. I don't want to say little. Time's time. Not enough time to be in these spots.
Right.
You know, those spots were kind of used for guys that wanted to bow out gracefully, maybe 30 years on. Guy had 28 years on. He wants his last two, you know, get the pension. You know, so.
We're seeing probies in those spots.
I'm seeing young guys in there. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. You know, and the guys that are getting banged up, they can't go to those spots or still holding on into the field because they want to get those last 2 years in. It's becoming, and again, I'm kind of like this. It's the ADHD, I swear. But it's this me generation. It's me. Everything's me. You know, it's not about how we can do this. It's about what can I get out of it. You know, so, I don't know. It's like something shiny just walked in the room. Like it's a butterfly just flew by. You know what I mean? Lost my whole train of thought.
Stop looking out the windows. Staring at the street. Bring it back around. So I think our generation, the weight on us is really going to be bring back the boot in the ass is what we're saying. Bring back the culture. Bring back the kitchen table culture. We don't have a hard and fast rule, cell phones down. We just have a tradition in my house where we call it Brain Power Hour. And the TV goes on and we watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and everybody's screaming at the TV. But it's great because the cell phones are down. Because everyone's actively engaged in trying to beat the other person at their game. And it's our job as the one day future, far from now, because, you know, we're not that old. We're just babies.
No, I'm old.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Speak for yourself.
No, really, it's babe.
But our future job is going to be bring back the kitchen table culture and bring back the boot in the derriere, but do the training in a smarter way, I think. I think that's the difference. I think it's our job to bring the pendulum back to the middle because we can't swing it to the left, can't swing it to the right because you're going to find fault with either one. But do the training in a smart way where we're putting stress on people, but also paying attention to them. If we need to tailor something to someone's needs, let's be smart.
So
let's educate someone the way they need to be and then stick a boot in there.
Again, and again, like you said, swing the pendulum back, not want to hurt anybody. Except all mental health. Like mental health is huge now, right, in the fire department. It's huge. Everybody wants it kind of.
Not even mental health, but I'm someone who, if you scream at me, that's how I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put the screws to me, if you put me under stress, that is going to motivate me and that is how I'm going to learn.
See, I got oppositional defiant disorder too. Like if you yell at me, I'm ready to
Tell me I can't do it. I'm going to learn this in 0.5 seconds. But there are other people who they just, that's too much chaos and you have to teach them in the quiet first before you can then put the screws to them.
Again, it comes back to the senior guy. He picks up on this kind
right,
of shit.
Exactly.
So a guy with 3 years that's kind of sashaying around the friggin' firehouse saying, I'm a senior guy, I don't have to do dishes, I'm a senior guy, I don't pick up a mop. He's not picking up on those cues, right, from this new guy coming in.
Precisely.
Right? He's not picking it up, right? So
he doesn't have the maturity yet.
Again, he doesn't have the maturity. I don't either. You know, but with the senior guy, again, the senior guy going, with these mass transfers that we experienced in Philadelphia, we didn't have that kind of guy. So it was like the blind, I don't want to say blind leading the blind, but nobody knew what to do again with the loss of the senior guy. So we had a few issues, and I got to plug the peer support thing, really, because that kind of, in a way, substituted the senior guy, like when it comes to problems. Like, listen, you sit at the kitchen table, you can solve third world country problems, right? Everybody's an expert. Everybody's expert. Everybody can figure it out, right? So, but with the loss of the senior guy, some of these guys were going through some certain things that didn't know where to go or who to turn to, right? So Mikey Yeager, I got to give him, you know, I got to give him a shout out, because if I don't talk about him, he'll talk about himself. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's a good guy, but I got to bust his balls. Handsome devil. And he was in Rescue 1. And if you didn't know that, he'll tell you that too. But he started this up because we had some things going on. Jack Slavinsky wound up, you know, taking his own life. So we had a lot of things going on, right? So we needed somewhere to turn to. So anyway, we're at where we're at now with this peer support thing. The Union International picked up on it, and they kind of became like the senior guy somewhat. You know what I mean? Like, you might have a firehouse that might have guys with 5 years, no more than 5 years on. And they're picking up some vibes off a cat that they're working with, and they don't know what to do or where to go to it. So they can kind of reach out to, you know, anonymously kind of, hey, listen, someone come over and check this guy out. Whereas before, a senior guy can look at this guy, he's looking at him like a boogie on a finger, like, what's going on with this guy? And he knows, and he pulls him out and kind of clears things up. So,
well, to wrap it all up, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm excited to see what our generation does with bringing that culture back. I think we've really seen that we aren't necessarily, hopefully, going to get bit for bringing things back that need to come back. The PC culture's got to go in certain ways, and we have to bring certain things back. And putting stressors on people, putting accountability on people, that absolutely has to come back. But like you just said, that quiet shoulder to lean on, that person watching out for the whole firehouse, that has to come back as well. We have to bring both sides of it back to bring it back to middle.
It sucks because, again, like...
And that's your job, future senior man.
Do you put... Now, I'm senior in age. I'm not the senior guy, right? So...
When the rest of the fire department leaves, buddy, it's going
to
be you.
I'm going to be leaving soon, too. I was in the drop as soon as I went into the academy. But, like, so do we put too much emphasis on feelings, right, and emotions, right? Do we? Again, it's like it goes back and forth. It's this double-edged sword. It just kind of swings back and forth. Do you turn a cold cow's shoulder to it, or do you embrace it, you know? Like, or do you just say to yourself, like, listen, I know you're feeling this way, but feelings aren't facts, right? They're not
feelings
facts.
Don't matter in a burning building.
Feelings are not facts, right? So what do? You gotta move on, you gotta do what you gotta do, right? But I think too, with some of these newer guys, the newer generation, that, you know, they put a lot of depth of weight in how they're feeling and, you know, how they wanna I just gotta get through this. Like, no, you do, and you just pull yourself up and get through this, you know, you just gotta do it. I don't know, man. It's one of those things, we're right where we got to find a happy medium on how to handle that, who's going to handle that, and kind of maybe swing it back to, like, all right, this is the deal. This is what we do. If you don't think you can do it, maybe
this isn't for you.
Maybe this is not for you.
The fire department is not for everybody. We're going to go ahead and say everybody. We're going to say that on record. Fire department is not for everybody.
But the impression is that it is. You know what I mean? Like oh, you could be a fireman. Like, there's guys that I heard that were in the academy that shit themselves in a burn room. And they were kind of like, well, you can still do this. You can still get through this. No, I don't want that guy behind me. You know what I mean? So that's a whole other subject. Pull me in, please. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to get
up. Reel it in.
But it is. It definitely is changing. You're absolutely correct. And again, it's like white collar kids taking a blue collar job. I think there's too much emphasis on, I don't want to say being PC, but not hurting it or upsetting anybody. You know, you don't upset. Like, handling men with kid gloves is asinine to me. We're all men, whatever. Like, you know, like, your feelings are going to get hurt, you know? Like, that's just it. I'd rather your feelings get hurt than you get hurt.
Right, and I think that's so lost. I think because everybody's going to less fires, the concept of you can get hurt, maimed, killed, never go home to your family.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
Yeah. But I'm doing it.
But you're going to live.
Yeah.
Is a concept that's lost. Well, Frank, thank you for
you'll probably get
hanging
like
out with me.
Five minutes out of this after editing, I'm sure.
After we edit everything out, yeah, it's going to be a solid and entertaining 5 minutes.
Ah, Jesus.
Well, thank you for hanging out.
Thank you for putting up with the technical difficulties. Give Mike Wells a kiss on the cheek or a kick in a bird. Or, wait, what did I say that right?
Pride the ladder.
Right? Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah, I didn't get them confused this time. But, I want to thank Mikey for kind of, you know, allowing me to.
I needed a super salty senior man, and he said I got just the person.
No, I'm not salty. I'm just miserable. I'm a miserable prick. That's all it is. There's nothing salty.
Maybe that was the words he used. Well, thank you for coming out today and doing this.
No, thank you. And
good luck in the future, learning those new rookies.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you very much. Thank you.